Steve Dallaire from Boulevard Brutal with Paulo from Trivium, and we're quite honored to have you with us on Boulevard Brutal. How are you doing, Paulo?
I'm doing very good, man. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Awesome.
So you're on tour right now with Killswitch Engage and many other bands. That was the first show last night. How did it go?
It was great. This is the first annual Trespass America tour with Five Finger Death Punch, Killswitch Engage, God Forbid, Amir, Pop Evil is going to be on it, and Battlecross. And first show in Colorado was great. There was like 4,300 kids. We're just really excited to be back out in the States, and you know, we're kind of winding down our album cycle for In Waves, so it's nice to come back through on such a big show and, you know, kind of like one last push to get to any new people that haven't seen us yet and just get our music out there.
Yeah, because you guys have been on the road for quite a while for In Waves, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's been, we started up before it came out. We actually did a couple little bit of tours overseas in Australia starting in April of last year, and we've pretty much been hitting it ever since, and we haven't looked back. We just, any tour opportunity that came up that seemed different than the usual, you know, just regular tour that we could have done, we just wanted to do everything out there, like the Dream Theater tour, Asking Alexandria, just really kind of all over the place, and we really didn't limit ourselves to like sticking to a specific type of tour.
And speaking of the first tour of In Waves with Dream Theater, that was a weird bill, because your music doesn't sound like Dream Theater. Even if it's really technical, it's still much heavier than Dream Theater. How was the fans' reaction to your shows?
Well, I think the thing with that tour, obviously, they asked us to be a part of it, so, you know, I think those guys are just such well-rounded musicians. I mean, obviously, they're very technical. They also do appreciate heavy music and even heavier music than their own music. And I think the thing that was cool with Dream Theater and their fans is that they were viewing us through musicians' eyes. So they weren't going, well, this is this genre of metal or that genre, or these bands newer, that band's older, whatever. It was pretty much, all right, play your music. And it was like being analyzed by, you know, 3,000-4,000 you know, musicians every night, just watching you and watching your notes and how you played. And it was different. It really made us a tighter band because we were more focused on the playing side of it than we really were with, you know, what we're normally used to at a show, which is like getting the crowd really amped up and, you know, going crazy. Where this was more of like a theater tour, so we had to, we had to really just focus on the playing side of it, and it was fun. And, you know, we had nothing to lose playing the tour, so that's why we did it.
Well, you probably gained a few fans with those shows,
yeah.
Right?
That's, if you don't put yourself out there in those kind of situations, I mean, you'll never really gain the new fans that you can get on tour if you just tour with the same type of bands. Like, for me, doing the tour with In Flames, that's like a comfortable tour for us. That's like a crowd that knows who we are, gets our music. You know, many of them are into what we do already, and it feels great to play to a crowd like that. But sometimes you got to put yourself out in front of a new audience that's not going to get you right away.
Exactly.
You got to do your best to show them what you got.
And you guys have already written, like, I think 9 songs already for the new album. You,
yeah,
Jesse.
9 demos. It's all music. There's no vocals on them yet. I know Matt's been writing some lyrics and has a couple pretty cool ideas that I've heard, and we're going to try to start putting some vocals on a few of the things, but we're continuing to write, and we're not limiting ourselves to these 9 songs. They're by no means, you know, the songs that are going to be on the album for sure. I'm sure a couple of them definitely are going to be, but we're just at that point where we're just trying to amass the most amount of songs and get the most ideas we can before we really get into the warehouse and start putting it together. We just want to have, you know, a good vision of like where the next record's going, you know, before we sit down and start preparing for it.
So, do you have any kind of the direction on where the songs, like how the songs are going to sound? Like, is it going to be like in waves or more like Shogun? Or,
I mean, the way we're going with it is just, you know, we want to make a very cohesive record. Every song really fits well together. I think, obviously, it's so early on to say what it's going to sound like, because without hearing the vocals, it's really hard to say, but we've just decided we want to approach this to make just a really intense, heavy tribute album, and that's kind of just the, I guess I could say that's like the general goal. Obviously, that's not very specific. I mean, obviously, we play heavy music on all our albums, but this one, we kind of are trying to get this vision, and we're still working on it, and we talk about it every day, and you know, trying to map out exactly how we're going to approach the record. And that even goes into, like, the artwork and all that kind of stuff. We're trying to make this whole vision for the next record.
Okay. And In Waves was your first record with your new drummer, Nick Augusto. Yeah. Was it a natural fit? Like, I think he was the drum tech before, right?
Well, he was the drum tech on Mayhem in 2009, but I actually knew Nick since I was 5. We played in our first band together when we were like 12, 13, 14 years old. And I've just known Nick's been a great drummer for many years. And, you know, when the time came that we needed someone to fill in for Travis and then ultimately replace Travis in the band, I knew Nick would be the guy. He's just personality-wise and playing-wise, he's just the right fit for us. And I wanted to, I think the most important thing for me when we were talking about getting the new drummer in was that it had to be someone, you know, that wasn't already in other bands, you know, well known, just someone that deserved the opportunity to play at this level and really show what they have. And I knew Nick was a guy that really deserved it. And, you know, he stepped up and really saved this band from where we were at before he came in. So it's been a great fit since day one, and it's only progressed. And I think the next record, you know, that's one thing I feel like Nick has really gelled with us, and now he can really be comfortable playing and writing new material with us. Whereas before, you know, coming in, he was not only just learning all our back catalog, but, you know, he had to learn and write new stuff with us. So it was a learning experience going through In Waves and recording it.
Yeah, and it's quite important to have the bass player to get along with the drummer, because you are the rhythm section, and you're probably the most important part of Trivium. So if it's a natural fit, that was probably the best decision you can take.
Yeah, it was definitely the best.
And I was going to ask you, a year and a half after the In Waves album, are you still satisfied with it?
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing all over the world, and it's been amazing. Like, we've really felt the biggest growth with In Waves over in Europe, actually. Not necessarily the UK, but I'm talking about, like, Germany and a lot of the countries around Germany. The song In Waves, like, for whatever reason, you can never plan these kind of things. You put out songs, you never know how people are going to react to it. And that song in particular has really resonated with kids there. And we've kind of seen this momentum build for us that we've never really had before in Europe. You know, we've always done well. We've always had great tours. But it's kind of like this corner we've just turned over there. And it's because of the new record. And, you know, we don't look back on records like, man, you know, really hate this, I wish could change it. I mean, you can always nitpick anything that you've made in the past. I mean, that's just how, I guess, musicians view all their music. You can always could have done better, but that's what your next record's for. You take what you learned on that last record that you loved, what you didn't like, and you just try to improve upon the next record. But overall, for In Waves, I mean, it still stands up live playing the songs, and sonically I think it's our best record to date. You know, when I listen to all our records, like if we're on a plane or something, I, you know, go through each record to listen, and In Waves just sounds so good Colin Richardson really killed the mix for it.
Yeah, that's probably, well, I think it personally, that's, it's your strongest album. And one thing I noticed is that you picked up quite a lot on the back vocals. Is it something that you wanted to do back from the beginning, or the guys forced you to do back vocals?
Well, the vocals on the album are all Matt. Like, that's all Matt.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff live calls for Corey and I to really step up to do those parts. So, I mean, yeah, there was definitely a lot of great backing parts that we knew that we would be doing live. Like, when we rehearsed the songs before we went in to record it, we were rehearsing them, you know, with each of us doing the parts. But then when we got in the studio, Matt did a lot of the vocals, did all the vocals.
Okay, well, still, live it sounds really good. Like, personally, I didn't figure that Matt would do all the vocals. I thought it was you doing your own back vocals, so you're doing a great job at it. So, let's talk about you. You said that you played with Nick back when you were 10 or 12 years old. What inspired you to become a bass player?
Well, Nick had obviously, I think at the same time, had picked up drums. A couple of my friends had picked up guitar, and, you know, I just went with bass. A lot of the music I was listening to at the time, I think, kind of pushed me more towards bass. Like, it wasn't metal, like, when I was younger at first. It was, you know, bands like 311 or Sublime, just kind of like what was popular in my school at the time. And a lot of the bass players in that band were the focal point, and I think that's kind of what led me in that direction. But when I heard Metallica, when I heard Cliff Burton, that was kind of what sold me on sticking with bass and ultimately playing heavy music. And it's kind of, I don't know, I've always felt more confident as a bass player. I've never wanted to be a guitar player in any band. I can play guitar. I've been playing guitar almost as long as I've been playing bass, but I've just never seen myself using guitar other than for writing music. I love playing bass, especially live.
Okay, and you guys are touring like all the time. Like, you've been touring for the last year and a half. Like, how do you keep your sanity through touring with three other guys?
Well, I mean, it's not just the three of us, it's the whole crew. I mean, we have like 9-10 guys that are constantly with each other for 7 to 8 months out of the year or more. And I think the biggest thing is you need to find outlets outside of just playing shows and partying. You know, I love having a good time every night, and, you know, sometimes having drinks with friends and stuff, but it gets to be very monotonous and it starts to lose its fun. And sometimes I feel like if you get too wrapped up in just that and you don't experience anything else in life, it can get very old and you can get burnt out. And one thing we always try to do is to actually just get out and explore the towns we can. If we can go find like the best restaurant in town, not necessarily a fancy place, but, you know, where local people like to go, whether it's a bar or a restaurant or just anything that people would suggest going to see in their town or city. And it really, not only does it help kill some time before the shows, but it just really opens your eyes up to a lot more of the world rather than just seeing the same, you know, bland backstage venue, the same, you know, it all starts to run together. And on this tour in particular, where it's kind of like arena shows, every arena looks the same inside, and they can get very, you just, I don't know, suck your soul out a little bit if you're just seeing that all the time. You gotta do stuff. And other than that, I mean, just try to stay healthy. If you're into like working out or doing stuff like that or running, or just get out and like do something. And it's so important for me to just have things to do throughout the day besides just sit around and wait to play.
And of all the touring through the world that you've done, any countries that you haven't visited yet that you would like to?
Well, we're doing South America for the first time in September, so we're about to check that one off the list. I know South Africa has been a place that we've been trying to make happen, but it's kind of a tough place to put into the tour cycle, but we're going to definitely get there one of these days. And, you know, we've just started you know, play in places like Bulgaria and Turkey for the first time, and we really want to just get to as many countries like that as possible. There's a lot of people out there that love rock and heavy music, and you just got to get to them and play for them, and that's been really exciting for the last couple months, is playing places like that.
Cool. So you're playing the Heavy Montreal Festival this summer. What can we expect for the Montreal fans?
It's, I mean, the last time we played there, this was one of the best festivals we had ever played, you know. It's almost like the European festivals. It's set up very similar, great lineup, really, really diverse but heavy lineup. And for our set, it's just to have the most intense show that we can give the crowd that day. You know, it's always kind of a friendly competition amongst bands to see who can get the crowd going the best, and you know, we're gonna go in there and try to do our best to be the band that, you know, try to steal the show. You know, that's how we approach every time we go up there, and it's not like an ego thing, because there's so many amazing bands playing it that, you know, I think a lot of bands are gonna have great shows, but we want to go up there and make sure that people leave thinking, man, I gotta go see Trivium when they come back in the fall, or when they come back on a headliner. You know,
and buy the next record.
Yeah, the next record, of course.
Well, no doubt you're gonna kick ass in Montreal. I just can't wait to see you guys. Well, thanks, Paulo. That was much appreciated for you to call me back, and hopefully I'll have a chance to see you at the Heavy Montreal Festival and have a beer together.
Awesome, man.
All right. Well, thanks.
All right.
Okay, see you.